We thank you so much for tonight, and we thank you for Easter. Thank you for what tonight represents to us, because tonight we celebrate and we remember the greatest show of love for mankind. Because the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. It means a lot to us, Lord, tonight, that Jesus died, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us.
Oh, yes.
It's not just a fable, it's not just an old story, but we actually do believe that Jesus died for us. The evidence is there. Our changed lives are proof that this story is true. And tonight we come before you remembering the cross and its significance, and how you said that each of us will also have to take up his cross and follow you if we want to be true servants of God. We pray tonight that your blessing will be upon us as we spend a few moments in your word.
Yes.
Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. Amazing. How do you say it?
I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me,
like a flood,
and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Please be seated. And let's share the word of God tonight. Amen. Tonight is what we call, as Christians, Good Friday. It's a Friday, a little different from all Fridays, because this one is a very good one. Amen. And tonight, I want to share with you about the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Now, before Jesus ever went to the cross, Zola, before Jesus ever went to the cross, he started encouraging us to be prepared to go to the cross. Amen. He was yet to experience the cross himself, but he was moving around with a preparedness for the cross, knowing that it was one of the things in his destiny, and had accepted it and had embraced it and was only waiting for the day when it will actually manifest itself. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when you read the Bible, you read, let's read a number of them. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, the Bible says, and when he had called the people, Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, from verse 34, says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, that means anyone who intends to follow me, anyone who plans to come after me, anyone who wants to be a Christian, anyone who plans to be a Christian, because Christianity is what? Following Christ. The art of following Christ is what we call Christianity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the name we give to people who follow Christ is what? Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he said, if anyone will come after me, that means if anyone wants to be a Christian or wants to be known and called or referred to as a Christian, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. Then in addition, in this particular passage, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Hallelujah. Amen. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus is, you know, talking to his people, and again he's telling them that anybody who intends to be a follower of Christ must have a cross. Hallelujah. He said, you must take up your cross and follow me. You know, and then he goes on to explain a little bit what it means to take up your cross. So he says that whoever shall save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And he says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this account, you find both Matthew is talking about it and Mark is talking about it. Hallelujah. Now in Mark, which is the one we just read, when you go over to chapter 10, you see a practical example. So far, what the ones we read were more like a message, was like a theory that Jesus was, you know, it was just something he said. But now you see him applying it to someone in chapter 10. So in chapter 10, and that's Mark chapter 10 and verse 20, verse 17 says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, you know, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and father." Same old, same old, same old. You know, just go do those things and you should be fine. But verse 20 says, he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I have observed from my youth." Do you understand? And so the Bible says in verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus loved him. He was drawn to the guy because it looked like the guy wanted not business as usual, but the guy wanted a bit more. The guy wanted to go deeper. The guy wanted to be real. He wanted to go further because Jesus gave him what everybody else had been obeying and living by until then. You know, he said, "You say you want to be in the kingdom of God. You want to go to heaven. Do what everybody is doing. You know the commandments. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Just do them." And Jesus probably said that to him as a test, just to see how much and how badly do you want it. Because you see, the kingdom of God is something that you cannot really enter unless you are really determined to enter. Hallelujah. Because there is a price to pay. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why people charge a gate fee for an event is so that only those who really want to be there will be there. Do you see? There are no people who stray into a show. But when the show is free, you can have stray guests. Some of the audience may not have planned to attend a show. They were just walking past the building. They saw some activity and some action in the place, you know, and then they just join. Do you see? But when there is a gate fee, usually it requires some intention. There has to be some deliberate act or intent to be part of the event. And that is demonstrated by the price an individual is prepared to pay in the form of a gate fee or something like that to be able to enter and participate in the show. Hallelujah. So to ensure that this person really wanted to belong, Jesus, you know, showed him, you know, the normal things. And Jesus watched to see if the guy would go away, and he wouldn't go away. So the guy said, "Look, what you are saying is what I have lived by since I was a kid. But I know there is more. I know there is more. And I want more out of my relationship with you." Hallelujah. So at that point, Jesus said unto him, "Okay, one thing you are missing. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up the cross, and follow me." Hallelujah. So this is the first time we see him actually applying it to somebody. That you say you want to follow me. You say you want to be a real Christian. You say you want to be one of the followers of Christ. Well, then here is what you do. You need to take certain steps. Be prepared to lose certain things. And then take up your cross and come and follow me. Hallelujah. He said, "You need to take up your cross and come and follow me." This is what he had been preaching about, that if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, do you see, then take up his cross and follow me. So let him deny or forgo things that belong to himself, and then let him take up his cross and follow me. And so when he found this man who said, "I want to follow you," he said, "Well, step one, deny yourself. Sell all the things you have. Give to the poor." Then step two, take up your cross and come and follow me. Hallelujah. Now look at the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 23, we see another account where Jesus is speaking and he says, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Hallelujah. He said he should take up his cross daily and follow me. So it means that carrying of the cross is not a one-time event. Do you see? It's not a one-time event. It's not referring to, let's say, an incident or an event or something in particular that happened, do you see, which you just do and finish and you don't have to bother with it anymore. But here, he's specific and he says that you need to take up your cross every day. That means every single day you are carrying a cross and you are following him. Hallelujah. Then he continues, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged? What is the advantage? If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Hallelujah. So right here we can see that, you know, three times from three different witnesses, everybody is talking about this particular account. Hallelujah. Everybody is remembering, you know, the disciples who wrote these gospels, everyone was recollecting what they could remember about the encounters with Christ. But the fact that at least three of them all remember this particular statement must mean that it must have been one of the clearest ones that Jesus said. See, there are certain things that you may find only in Luke, you won't find in Matthew, you may find in Mark, but you won't find in this other one, and so on. But this is one that runs across all three. They all remember that Jesus said a major condition to following him is having a cross. Hallelujah. A major condition to following him is having a cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what does it mean to take up your cross? Or what does it mean to have a cross? Is it to buy a piece of jewelry from Macy's? Do you see? Or where do they sell crosses? Walmart. They sell Walmart crosses, JCPenney, Target, Sears, Zales, Forever 21, H&M, what? Jared. Oh, it's a jewelry place. I see. Right. So then if... You see, if the possession of a cross is evidence of Christianity, then all these places you have mentioned are churches. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't even have to go to church. Just go to JCPenney's. JCPenney's has more crosses in the shop than you will find in most churches. Isn't it? Yeah, and all these places. So was Jesus saying that if you want to follow me, buy a cross? Is that what Christ was saying? Was he saying that if any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and then buy himself a cross? I mean, take the story of the man that he told to go back and sell everything. What was he saying to him? Sell everything you have except the cross. Yeah. Sell everything you have and buy yourself a cross. Do you see? If Jesus was referring to the purchase of a cross like this one I am wearing, you know, then the next question the man should have asked is, what character? I mean, you need to give me what size cross will do. Do you understand? Yeah, and should it be gold or diamond or what?
Platinum.
Or platinum or white gold, or silver. Which one exactly, Christ, are you referring to? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the truth is that The bearing or the carrying of a cross is a symbol. Hallelujah. And Jesus was speaking in symbolic terms that a follower of Christ must bear a cross. To bear a cross is to walk with an expectation of the implications of carrying a cross like Christ did. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you a couple of the symbols of the cross and what it means for someone to take up his cross. Hallelujah. Number one, the cross is the symbol or is a symbol of the price Christians must pay to be Christian. Hallelujah. The cross is a symbol of the price Christians must pay to be Christian. There is a price to be a Christian. If you're going to be called a Christian, it is not free. Hallelujah. To be referred to as a Christian is not free. To be a Christian is going to cost you something. And Christ was trying to tell the person that, look, you say you want to follow me. Anybody who wants to follow me must take up his cross. That means he must get ready to pay a price to be called a Christian. Hallelujah. No wonder one of the things he says in that discourse is that if you are ashamed, you know, to be known as a Christian in this filthy place, then I will also be ashamed of you, where it matters even more. Hallelujah. He was trying to say that, you know, what you are asking to do by coming to follow me is to be a Christian or to be known and referred to or called a Christian. If that is what you are trying to do, then there is a price to be paid. Hallelujah. He says it will cost you something to be a Christian. Amen. When you walk with the Lord, you will come to find that it is expensive to be a Christian. Being a Christian will cost you sometimes friends, will cost you relationships, it will cost you habits, it will cost you behaviors. I mean, you can't be a Christian and just behave anyhow. There are some things Christians don't do. There are some things you're going to feel strongly like doing them, but then you're going to have to not do them. And your only reason is not because you don't feel like it, but because you are not supposed to do that as a Christian. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to pay a price. You have to pay sometimes a very expensive price. That because I'm a Christian, I cannot do this. That as a Christian, you cannot do that. A Christian cannot be moving around, you know, in different places, hanging out with unbelievers, doing the same thing unbelievers do. It's going to cost you something. You cannot be a Christian and behave like an unbeliever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You cannot be a Christian and be in the same clubs with unbelievers. What is the difference? Do you understand? Yeah, you cannot. Paul, why are you making Zola feel uncomfortable? Why did you find her in a club or something? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Amen. If you're a Christian, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. You can't be a Christian and still be drinking and getting drunk. You can't be a Christian and still be smoking and sniffing things. Hey. Chewing things. And you know it's not gum. Hallelujah. You cannot be a Christian and be listening to unbeliever music. can't be dancing to unbeliever music. There is a price to pay. When you become a Christian, you run a filter across your life. And there are some things that must not make it through that filter. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is a price to pay. You say, but I like these things. Or that I enjoy these things. Or that my life depends on these things. Or I really like these things. You know, I've done them for so long. That is true. Do you understand? That is why separating yourself from them is painful. And that is exactly what Christ meant. Christ said that by taking a cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. When Jesus took a cross, from the time he started carrying the cross, it was just one painful experience after the other. Hallelujah. Amen. There was no smiling after he carried the cross. There was no laughter after he carried the cross. From the bearing of the cross all the way until he died on that cross, it was just one painful experience after the other. And he said that a person who comes after him, anyone who says, I want to be a follower of Christ, must come with a preparedness to endure pain and suffering on account of being a Christian. Because you are a Christian, there is some amount of pain, some amount of inconvenience, you will have opportunities to find an easy way out, and you cannot go that way anymore because you are a Christian. And it must mean something. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It must mean something. That is what he told the guy, you want to follow me, go and sell everything and have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. What a thing to say to someone. Can you imagine if we had a sign at our door? And you want to join this church? Go sell everything you have. Have treasure in heaven. And come and be a member. What a shock. Most of us will not be here. I mean, you're going to tell Paul, go sell your little echo. Go sell everything you have. See, Paul should go and sell everything he has. Wow. That will be the last time you see him doing praise and worship in this place. Hallelujah. It costs something to be a Christian. You have to begin to start to talk like a Christian. And say, because I'm a Christian, I don't do this. Because I'm a Christian, I cannot do this. It doesn't mean you are not aware of the benefits. You understand? You know the benefits. You know what you get out of this. But you say to yourself, because I'm a Christian, I have to pay the price. Paying the price is always painful. The more valuable what you're getting is, the higher the price you pay to get it. When things are not valuable, you don't feel it when you buy them. That's why most things you buy from the dollar store don't even make it home with you. Yeah? By the time you get home, the thing is spoiled. You have to use it before you get home. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? But most things of any real value will cost you something. If your Christian life is of any value to you, it will cost you something. Hallelujah. It will cost you in the movies you watch. It will cost you something. You're going to run a filter on the movies that you watch, the songs you listen to, the places you go to, the people you hang out with. Is going to cost you something. Hallelujah. The books you read is going to cost you something. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, anybody who wants to follow me must be prepared to pay the price. That Christianity goes with some suffering. Hallelujah. And that if we follow him, then we will get our share of the suffering. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? How many still want to be Christians? Are you sure you still want to be a Christian? You still want to be a follower of Christ? Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 or 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, not 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 19. It says, "For this is thankworthy." That means this is worthy of thanks. "If a man for conscience towards God." Do you see? For conscience towards God. Because you want to have a clear conscience towards God. He says, "You endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called." This is what you were called unto. "That because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Can you see that? "Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Say amen. Amen. See, these are some of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. That Christ suffered for us and he left us an example that we will follow his steps. We will follow his steps. Do you see? The steps that lead to suffering and the steps that lead to paying a price and giving up something. That step, he said he left those steps for us so that we will follow in those steps. Hallelujah. Because we say we are followers of Christ, we should be thankful that he even left us his footsteps so that we can walk in them. That makes following him even so much easier. Hallelujah. And he gave the example. He set the example with his own life. That because he suffered, do you understand? We also must expect to pay a price in the things we suffer and endure as we have to lose things to serve him. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you read on to... Okay, let me just leave that. I'll come back to that later if we have time. Say amen. Amen. Number two, the second symbolic meaning of carrying a cross is the love of God. That the cross is a symbol of the love of God which we must emulate. Hallelujah. The cross is the symbol of the love of God which we must emulate. Hallelujah. It is through Jesus Christ's death on the cross that we actually understand the nature of the love of God and what God means by love and the kind of love that God expects us as Christians to walk in. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. See, both John 3:16 and 1 John chapter 3 and 16 are about the love of God. Hallelujah. Very similar verses. He says, Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we get a good sense of what God's love means. Isn't it? That because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. He laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. So when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and come along. And the other verse, he said, take it up every day. Every day, take up your cross, which means you're not supposed to meet a Christian and today he doesn't have his cross. And you ask him, where is your cross? And he says, well, it's the weekend. It's the weekend. I mean, I've been carrying it from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Only today I decided to take a break. Yeah, it's spring break. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are no breaks in Christianity. Neither spring, nor fall, nor winter, nor summer. There are no breaks in Christianity. Hallelujah. There's nothing like, Lord, I was just taking it easy this weekend. Come Monday, I will resume carrying the cross. No. He said, take up the cross daily. That means walk around every day living out the symbols of the cross. And one of those symbols is the price you have to pay. Another one is the love of God that you have to emulate. Hallelujah. Emulation means copying. Means you have to sort of copy it. You have to live like that too. And what is the example? He said he laid down his life for us. And so we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My brothers and sisters, the message is very clear. God is telling us this Easter that as he laid down his life for us, it was an example in what he expects of us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We have to lay down our lives for one another. We have to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for the sake of others. We have to give up things so others can have them. We have to make sacrifices so that our brethren can do well. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that laying down your life that others may have life manifests itself in so many different ways. Hallelujah. It's one thing doing things for people because it's convenient, but it's a whole other thing doing it even though it's not convenient. Doing it even though it's at a very great price to you. Doing it. Sometimes you're doing something for someone and he or she has no clue what it has cost you to be what you have become to that person. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? That he has no clue what it has cost you to be what you have become to that person. But Christ said we need to lay down our lives for the brethren. We need to make sacrifices for the brethren. Hallelujah. There are certain people who will never be able to come to church if somebody doesn't lay down his life for them. If someone doesn't say, listen, I'll come and get you. You don't live near where I live, but I'm coming to get you. I'm not coming to get you because you are on my way. I'm getting you because I need you to be in church. I want you to have a chance to have a good relationship with Christ. And for that reason, I want to lay down my life. Money that I could have used to buy for at Forever 21, I could buy a $21 shirt. I'll use it to put gas in my car. Amen. So I can come and pick you up. To give you that chance to have a consistent relationship with the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To give you that chance to have a consistent relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to lay down our lives for the brethren. We have to lay down our lives for one another. Hallelujah. We have to walk in love towards one another. We have to think about one another often. We have to care about one another. We have to care not only about our own interests, but about the interests of others also. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then one more symbol for tonight. Are you learning something tonight? Yes. The cross is also a symbol of obedience. It is a symbol of obedience. It is a symbol of what? Obedience. Hallelujah. Because through the cross, we see an example of Christ's obedience, even unto death. Now, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2. Right? Now let's start from verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you. You know, let this mind be in you. That means adopt this mentality. Live with this mentality. Hallelujah. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Now, this is an example that Christ has set for us. And the Bible says that Christ became obedient unto death. That is the Bible's way of saying extreme obedience. To obey even to the point where it costs you your life. Hallelujah. To obey Christ until it costs you your life. Now, most of us have not had that situation before. Most of us have never come to a place where obeying Christ means not living anymore. Hallelujah. But this is the example that Jesus set for us. He said, you need to obey me even to the point where it costs you your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Even to the point where it costs you your life. He said that he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death on the cross. Even the shameful death on the cross, he went through it. Hallelujah. So, what is your obedience costing you? Because you are not having, and it's very highly unlikely that in your lifetime, you will have to obey Christ at the price of dying. But between dying and living, there are many different prices you will have to pay. Hallelujah. So what has it cost you in obedience? Every Christian ought to be able to sit back and think through this. And this Easter is a good opportunity to think about it and ask yourself, what has it cost me? What has obedience cost me? You have to ask yourself and satisfy yourself that you can think of things you have lost because you obeyed. Hallelujah. And many times the reason why we haven't lost anything is because we have not obeyed. We have obeyed until it threatens to cost us something. Until it begins to feel pricey. Until it begins to look like, look, if I obey, it means I lose this. And that is where we draw the curtain on obedience. That is where the obedience sort of disappears in our lives. And we spiritualize it, and suddenly we say, but you see, you have to be wise. We have to walk in wisdom. And then you find another scripture that says, the Bible says you need to be wise as serpents. Hallelujah. It says you need to be wise as serpents. And so that scripture, I don't know why we don't remember this one. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you that if you're going to follow Christ carrying your cross, then obeying the scriptures is going to be paramount. Amen. You will have to obey it. If it's in the Bible, you have to believe it and obey it. Hallelujah. You have to believe it and obey it. Sometimes it will go against you, but you have to obey it. Hallelujah. If you want to obey the scripture that says, pay your tithe or give offerings, it's going to cost you something. You will feel it. And sometimes you will feel the pain. Hallelujah. It's not easy to pay your tithe when you are broke. I tell you. I mean, when you are so broke, $10 of tithe is like... It means what, groceries won't be done. Isn't it? Yeah. All your stuff have been worn, you need to go to the laundromat. And sometimes all that the laundromat costs is your tithe. A few dollars in the machine to get your stuff washed. But you say you have to pay your tithe. Obedience is going to cost you. Hallelujah. Obedience is going to cost you. And you need to obey as a Christian. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then finally, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice. Sacrifice. The cross is the symbol of sacrifice. The sacrifice you have to make. So when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, he meant that be prepared to sacrifice every day of your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God expects you to be prepared to sacrifice. You cannot serve God much without sacrifice. Without a willingness and a preparedness to sacrifice, you cannot do much as a Christian. Hallelujah. Anytime your Christianity comes to a crossroad and gets to a junction where sacrifice is required, you have to be prepared to pay the price at that point. Hallelujah. You and I will have to pay the price at that point. There are times when the Christian life is really easy, but there are many times when to cross over, you need to make a sacrifice. Hallelujah. You need to make a sacrifice. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, and walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. He says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. Christ has given himself to us, an offering and what? A sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. And he says that is an example. Do that as Christ has done it. Hallelujah. Let's begin to walk by sacrifice. For our church to rise up, we need more sacrifices. We need to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice until it hurts. Sacrifice your reputation, sacrifice your privacy, sacrifice your sleep, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your what? Your time. Different things that we all have to sacrifice to make this church possible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Zola, you can choose to sleep in San Francisco every weekend. But if you want to help build a church here, you're going to have to sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice and drive and come up here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very soon we're going to start another branch on the other side.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that's exciting to hear.
Yeah.
But it means sacrifice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Because what it means is that we're going to go to church twice on Sunday. We're going to come here for morning service. Then we're going to go over there for afternoon or evening service. Hallelujah. Yeah, sacrifice. That is what it will take. Sacrifice means you're going to give up some of the things you do on Sunday afternoons. Yeah, it means instead of visiting someone on Sunday afternoon, you will be somewhere starting another church, building another church. I mean, LA is very big. I mean, if we want to make any impact here, you need to have more than one church. One small church in some small corner on Santa Monica Boulevard will not cut it. That is not enough. We will not feel it. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a bushel on Santa Monica Boulevard. But he says they put it up on a platform. that it may give light. Hallelujah. God wants our light to shine in more places and to more people. And so we are going to do just that. I said we are going to do just that. And it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. So if you say, it's really tiring. That's exactly what we are talking about. What I'm supposed to say to you is that, oh wow, praise the Lord, you have your cross. That's what it means. When you start to feel the pinch, when you start to feel the pain, it means you're actually carrying your cross. Hallelujah. When it doesn't bother you, your cross is probably not here. But I see us doing it. And God is going to reward us. When you read about Christ, you see that God rewarded him. The Bible says he was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Then it says, in the next verse, it says, and for this reason, verse 9, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, and for this reason, you see, because he was obedient even unto the cross, it says, for this reason, you know, or wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I see God exalting you. Hallelujah. I see God promoting you, God lifting you up, promoting your career, promoting you as a student, promoting your life, promoting and lifting you up because of your extreme obedience and your preparedness to sacrifice as you follow the example of Christ. Hallelujah. May that blessing be your portion this Easter in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's pray as we bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Why don't you bow your heads with me as we pray? He said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, then let him take up his cross and follow me. Jesus wants you to take up your cross and follow him. Jesus wants you to take up your cross and follow him. And the cross has implications. It means the price you have to pay. It means the love you have to emulate. It means obedience for you. And it also means the sacrifices you have to make. Just think about these four things this Good Friday night. What is the price that you are refusing to pay and which has caused your Christian life to stall? Because all of us walk with the Lord until we are not prepared to pay the price anymore. And that's when we stop going up in Him. That's when we stop advancing in Him, because we are not prepared to pay the price anymore. Just like anything else in life, as long as you keep paying for it, you keep enjoying it. As long as you keep paying for your cable television, you keep enjoying it. When there are new programs, you keep enjoying it. As long as you keep paying for your internet, your phone service, you keep enjoying it. But at the point where you stop paying the price for it, that's the point where you cease to enjoy the benefits of having that. And for many of us, our Christian life is no longer exciting. We are not growing like we used to grow at the beginning. We are not growing at the same pace as it was at the beginning. We are not developing as much as we used to be in days and times past. And I want to suggest to you that the reason is because you have stopped paying the price. You always have to pay the next higher price to go to the next higher level. And tonight God is speaking to you. I mean, you know what it means. I don't know what it means to you, but you know what it means. And God is saying, if you are prepared to pay the price, then we can continue and you can rise up and go to the next level in me, in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your hand to the Lord and begin to pray and say, Lord, I am ready and I'm prepared. Talk to the Lord and say, this Easter, I am ready and I'm prepared. I am prepared. I am ready. I am prepared to pay the price in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Mashakabolo musotole malamaham. Oh, yes, Lord. Mashakafalababalababushakafahem. Oh, yes. I
want to be more like you,
Jesus. Yes,
I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you.
Be a vessel you work through.
I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you.
Thank you, Jesus. Just tell the Lord, I need you to help me, Lord. You know my heart. That, Lord, I mean well. I want to serve you. I want to be a true Christian, but I need you to help me, Lord, to take up my cross so I can follow you, so I can be a faithful follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that this Easter you will strengthen us to be like Christ. Strengthen us, O God, to be willing to pay the price, to be willing to lay down our lives for one another, to be willing to obey you to extreme levels, where people laugh at us, where people say we are silly and idiots, where people think we are stupid. But Lord, if that is what it takes to obey you, I pray that you will give us the strength to do it. Because you said that if we are ashamed of you, we don't want to be called stupid by unbelievers in this filthy world. Then you will also be ashamed of us in a place where it matters even more. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and touch our lives. Let obedience be found in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Clap for Jesus, everybody. We're just bringing.